Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Appreciate that good prayer, brother. Thank you, David, for leading us in song as we raised our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. And thank you, Alvin, for that very good reading of the scriptures there from Mark chapter 9. And I'd encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to Mark chapter 9, for we're going to begin with our sermon there this morning. The other day, while doing some reading, I came across a survey that recently concluded that only 32% of Americans believe that hell is an actual place of torment and suffering. Now stop and think about that for a moment. About only 32% of Americans believe that hell is an actual place that really, truly exists, and that it is an actual place of suffering and torment. You see, that means about 7 out of every 10 Americans are unaware of the truth concerning hell. That's serious, isn't it? It's serious to note that there are so many souls in the world today who are unaware of the truth concerning hell. Since there are so many out there who either do not believe in or fully understand the seriousness of hell and its consequence, it's important that we take some time to talk about hell. And this morning, I want to spend just a few moments with an open Bible with you, taking some time to study the fact that hell is for real and that it is no joke. And I want to begin this morning there, going back to the reading there of Mark chapter 9. And there in Mark chapter 9, we see here in the context here where Jesus, he warns about the dangers of hellfire. And we learn here in Mark chapter 9 the fact that it is no joke that a place called hell exists. And here Jesus is going to tell us that it is a place where the fire shall never be quenched. I again want us to take some time to let this sink in. I want these words of Jesus to sink in with you this morning. And let's take some time to again read these words of Jesus as he warns concerning the dangers of hellfire, beginning here in verse number 43. Jesus said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Do I got your attention? Do those words of Jesus grab your attention? They should. You see, because I venture to say that when Jesus spoke these words, that it grabbed the attention of those to whom he spoke them to. But I also venture to say that they could understand exactly what he was saying. You see, it's important to note that the Greek word hell found here in the text in Mark chapter 9 is translated from the word Gehenna. That word hell here is translated from the Greek word Gehenna. Now, it's important to note that Jesus used this to warn against being cast into hell. And this word Gehenna would have been a word that these people in Jesus' time would have been familiar with. You see, it's important to note that the Valley of Hinnom at this time, and by the way, the Valley of Hinnom, as good Bible students, we remember that back in Manasseh's day, there would have been a time to when they would have had children sacrificed and burnt as sacrifices to false gods in the Valley of Hinnom, remember? But at this time, in Jesus' time here, at the time that he spoke this, this Valley of Hinnom, it would have become a garbage dump outside the gates of Jerusalem, where the fire continually burned and the worms underneath the surface ate the refuge. Think about that. It's kind of a vivid image, isn't it? You think about the Valley of Hinnom, you think about Gehenna, this word hell translated from that Greek word Gehenna, and you think about it being a garbage dump where the fire is continually burning that garbage, and yet the worms underneath the surface of that ground is eating up that refuge of that garbage. The people that Jesus spoke this to, they would have understood what he was talking about when he said that. Gehenna. Which is, by the way, translated hell. And when you think about that, you just think about the seriousness of a place called hell, where the fire shall never be quenched and where the worm shall never die. And I want you to notice the seriousness of this with me. Notice what Jesus said there, beginning in verse 43, rather. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. Fast forwarding down there to verse 45, he said, if your foot causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. Fast forwarding to verse 47, he said, if your eye causes you to sin, do what? Pluck it out. Now, Jesus isn't saying, hey, we need to self-mutilate ourselves. That's not what he's talking about here. But rather, the point that Jesus is doing here is he's simply telling us that we need to do whatever it takes to purge sin from our lives, lest we be cast into hellfire, where the fire shall never be quenched and the worm shall not die. That's the point. That's the lesson. He's warning about the dangers of hellfire. He's making it very clear that hell is for real. It is a place that exists. And it's a place where the fire shall never be quenched. And he's saying you need to be aware of that. And you need to do whatever it takes to purge sin from your life. You need to do whatever it takes. Whether it be even the fact that it would be better to sacrifice the loss of limb than to suffer eternal punishment in hell. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. And here Jesus warns about the dangers of hellfire. And he encourages one to do whatever it takes to purge sin from their life, lest they be cast into the place called hell, where the fire shall never be quenched and the worm shall never die. But I also suggest to us, as we think about this place called hell, as we think about it being a place where the fire shall never be quenched, it's important too that we are also reminded of the fact that it is no joke that there will be both wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. Again, Jesus. And by the way, did you know that Jesus is the one who speaks the most about hell? Did you know that? And of all the references we have in the scriptures about hell, Jesus is the one who talked about it the most. What do you think that is? Because it exists. It's for real. And he warns concerning the dangers of it, lest anyone be cast into it. But here in Matthew chapter 13, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here in Matthew 13. We're familiar with Jesus as he speaks parables here in the 13th chapter of Matthew. One of those parables he speaks is the parable of the wheat and the tares. But here in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 36, Jesus explains the parable of the tares. But I want you to notice with me, picking up here in verse 41, in regard to this parable of the tares, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness." By the way, that word lawlessness there stands for sin. And he goes on to say in verse 42, "And will cast them," who's that? "Those who were guilty of sin." He will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Think about those terms Jesus used to describe what's going to take place in this furnace of fire. About what's going to happen when one's cast into hellfire. He says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When you think about those words nailing, when you think about the gnashing of teeth, what comes to your mind? One word comes to my mind. Pain. Pain. You see, I don't know about you, but how do you feel when maybe you're trying to nail something together and your hand slips and you miss that nail head and you make a direct hit on your finger? What do you do? I venture to say that you start to wail and maybe start gnashing your teeth in pain, right? Any of you ever get up in the middle of the night and it be totally dark and you're on your way to the bathroom maybe and you happen to stub your big toe on the dresser? What do? I venture to say that you start wailing and you start gnashing your teeth in pain, right? That's the description that Jesus is giving here about what's going to take place when one's cast into that furnace of fire. He says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He simply put, he's telling us that you're going to be conscious in hell. You're going to know where you're at. And you're going to feel it. Think about that. You see, you think about smashing your finger with that hammer. You think about stubbing that toe. Yes, it hurts. But eventually what happens? That pain goes away, doesn't it? And oh, what a relief when that pain finally eases, right? But you want to know something? There will be no relief. There will be no passing of pain once cast into hellfire. That gnashing of teeth and that wailing, it'll be forever. It'll be forever. You will be forever tormented in hell fire. In that place of eternal suffering. And Jesus is making that very known here in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse number 42. Again, it is no joke that there will be both wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. But here's another thing. It is no joke that there will be outer darkness in hell. How many of you scared of the dark? How many of you scared of the dark? I venture to say that some of you probably are scared of the dark, or some of you probably know some who are absolutely terrified of outer darkness. I venture to say you probably know somebody like that, or maybe you yourself experience that. But did you know that hell is described as a place of outer darkness? Did you know that? Again, Jesus teaches us this there in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And here in Matthew chapter 25, here as Jesus is giving the parable of the talents, there in verse 30, he's talking about that unprofitable servant. And notice what is said about him in Matthew 25, verse 30. He says that, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Again, he says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, Jesus is describing the fact that hell, this place of eternal punishment, not only is there going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, but here he says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did you know there's actually a slight difference between weeping and wailing? Wailing is when you scream out in pain. Weeping is a continual cry, isn't it? It's a continual cry. And you think about weeping here. You think about the fact that it's an expression It's an expression of a conscious mind realizing what one has brought upon self. When you weep, you express your emotions, don't you? Usually you weep out of a reason because you've been hurt. You're hurt in some way or another. Your emotions have been hurt. And it causes you to weep, and you express your emotions through your weeping. But when you think about the fact that there's going to be weeping in hell, you think about the fact, again, of the fact that the mind's going to be conscious. Again, you're going to know where you are. And not only are you going to be wailing out in pain, gnashing teeth in pain, but you're going to be weeping. You're going to be weeping. You're going to be emotionally expressing the fact that you realize where you are and that you're there because of the wrong that you have brought upon yourself due to your sin. Due to a life of sin. You're going to know that you're there, and you're going to know why you're there. And it's going to cause you to weep. Think about that. But Jesus also tells us that it's going to be a place of outer darkness. You see, when I think about that, when I think about the wicked servant being cast into this place of torture, this place of outer darkness, I'm minded of the reason why hell is going to be a place of outer darkness. You want to know why hell is going to be a place of outer darkness? I'll tell you why hell is going to be a place of outer darkness. It's going to be a place of outer darkness simply because one is going to be eternally separated from Him who is light. That's why. You see, God is light. And in Him there is no darkness. And when one is cast into hellfire, when one is cast into that place of outer darkness, they are going to be eternally separated forever from Him who is light. That's why hell is going to be a place of outer darkness. And it is no joke that hell exists. It is no joke that hell is a place where the fire shall never be quenched. It is no joke that there will be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth in hell. And it is no joke that there will be outer darkness in hell. And I want you to stop and think about that. You know what that's telling us? It's telling us that hell is not going to be a party, as some people believe it's going to be. It's not going to be a reunion with those who practice sin and wanted to reject Christ and just live their life here to its fullest upon this earth, doing whatever they want, fulfilling the pleasures of the flesh. It's not going to be a reunion. It's not going to be a party with those whom you might enjoy doing that with here on this earth. But rather, it is going to be a place of eternal torment and punishment. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And it's important that we know that it is no joke that the everlasting fire of hell, it is a prepared place for both the devil and his angels. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus specifically said that hell, it's a prepared place for the devil and his angels and all those who practice wickedness? You see, we learn about that again going there to Matthew 25. And again there in Matthew 25, as Jesus gives us an image of the judgment scene. He talks about there in verse 31 and going there in verse 32 about how all nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He goes on to say about how the sheep will be set on His right hand, but the goats will sit on His left hand. But I want you to notice what He's going to say to those goats on the left hand. That is, those who are guilty of practicing sin. The unrighteous. Notice what He will say to them, as Jesus says in verse 41. It says, then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Take note of that. Jesus made it very clear that those who practice unrighteousness will someday hear those terrifying words, "Depart from me, you cursed. Depart and go where, Jesus? Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Again, it's no joke that hell is a real place. It's no joke that hell is a place of everlasting fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels and for all those who practice unrighteousness. But I also suggest to us this morning that it is no joke that even some self-professed religious people will be among those who populate hell. Did you know that there's even going to be some self-professed religious people who are unfortunately going to someday hear those words from Jesus, "Depart from me"? You see, Jesus made us aware of that there in Matthew chapter 7. Go there with me, if you will, there to Matthew the 7th chapter. And here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 21, notice these words of Jesus with me. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now watch it, verse 22. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not professed in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Here it is. Here's these people proclaiming to Jesus, "We know you, Lord. We follow you, Lord. Look at all the good we've done, Lord. Haven't we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" But how's Jesus going to react? Verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Again, simply put, Jesus is saying, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice sin." You see, how sad will be the day of judgment when many who profess to follow Christ will someday hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's going to be a sad day, isn't it? Sometimes we sing that hymn, "There's a sad day coming." And there is a sad day coming when many's going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But here's the thing. We see here how we can avoid hearing those words from our Lord and Savior. How can that be avoided? Jesus tells us, by doing the will of our Father who is in heaven. You see, I've heard many self-professed religious people in the past tell me, they'll say, "Preacher, I don't care what doctrine you teach. I don't care what scriptures you quote. But I believe that as long as I confess that Jesus is the Christ and that I believe that He is the Son of God, that I'm going to be saved and that I can do and worship and practice whatever I want." But you want to know something that Jesus teaches us here in Matthew chapter 7? He teaches us that it does matter what we do and what we practice. We need to be mindful of that, brethren. It matters. It matters what we do and what we practice. And we can see it right here in Matthew chapter 7. Because we see that there are going to be many who believe they're doing right. Many who believe that they're doing the right thing. Many who believe that they know the Lord and that they're following Him, who are someday going to hear, "You got it wrong. I never knew you. Depart from me." That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. That's why we need to take heed to this warning of Jesus found here in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Key words there, brethren. He who does, not he who says. Remember that. And if we want to avoid the eternal punishment of hellfire, we must make sure that we're doing all according to the will of God. We must be sure that we're getting it right. Because failure to do so is going to lead to hearing those dreaded words, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." Again, it is no joke that all those who are found to be unrighteous on the day of judgment will have their part in the lake which burns of fire and brimstone. It's no joke. We learn about this in the book of Revelation. Go there with me, if you will, there to the book of Revelation. And notice with me here in Revelation chapter 20. Here in Revelation chapter 20, we see here where John is given his description of the judgment scene. And as he gives his description of the judgment scene here in verse number 15 of Revelation 20, he says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life," that is the Lamb's book of life, "anyone not found written in that Lamb's book of life," what's going to happen? He says, "was cast into the lake of fire." You see that? You see, this place that is described as hell is also described as a place of being a lake of fire. We go on to fast forward there to Revelation 21 and verse 8, where we read about this place being a lake of fire and brimstone. Notice with me. Again here in Revelation 21 and verse 8 it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think about this list here that is characterized for us here in verse 8. Those who are someday going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. He says the cowardly. That is those who are afraid to take a stand for truth and for what is right. The cowardly, he says, are going to be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone. The unbelieving. That is those who reject Christ. Those who reject Him, fail to obey Him, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. The abominable. You think about that. That is those who practice the defilements of the world. The abominable. They're going to have their part where? In the lake of fire and brimstone. Murderers. Those who are guilty of shedding innocent blood. Where's their part going to be? In the lake of fire and brimstone. Sexually immoral. Think about that. Those who live to gratify the lust of the flesh. They're going to have a part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Sorcerers. Idolaters. Those who worship false gods. And he says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. We briefly talked about all liars this morning in our Bible class, didn't we? And we talked about how a liar is defined as one who deceives one. Whether it distorts the truth, whether in word or in deed. Whether in word or by action. Here we find that those who deceives one, whether in word or in action, they're going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Serious, isn't it? And notice what he says about this place. He calls it a second death. You see, it's important that you understand that the word death, it means separation. It means separation. And this place of hell, this place which burns with fire and brimstone, is referred to as the second death because you're already going to be separated. Your soul's already going to be separated from your body, from your physical body. But here in the second death, in this place, as we talked about earlier, you're going to be eternally separated from God. You're going to be eternally separated from God. And it's referred to as the second death. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. And we need to be mindful that it is no joke that God is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, we learned there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, where Jesus said, "And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Think about that. Jesus is making it clear here, hey, don't fear those. Don't fear men who only have the ability to take your physical life. Don't fear them, because all they can do is take your physical life. That's all they can do. They can do no more than that. He says, but rather fear him, that is God, who is able to both destroy body and soul in hell. That's who we need to fear. God. Why? Because he has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell. Only he has that power. And it is because of that that he deserves our reverence and our obedience. Because he has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of the words of the Hebrews writer found there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 31. When he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think about that. It certainly is, isn't it? Certainly is. And that is why we need to be a people who fear him, that is God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, although the subject of eternal suffering and punishment and hellfire is not a pleasant concept, I know that. I venture to say there's some of you probably sitting out there who's very uneasy, sitting in your pew right now. Some of you's very uneasy, sitting there complimenting the fact that hell exists and that it is a place of eternal punishment. But you want to know something? Although it's not a pleasant concept, we need to talk about it. We all need to be aware of it, that it is real. Hell exists, and it is no joke. But as we mentioned, God desires for all men to come to the knowledge of truth and to be saved. He doesn't desire for anyone to be cast into hellfire. That includes you and me. It is because of that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is because of God's love, mercy, and desire for our souls to be eternally saved that he sent his Son to this earth to die for our sins, so that we may obtain the remission of our sins and have that hope of an eternal home in heaven. And maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and his will. You can do the exact same thing that Lily did last night. You can confess your belief in Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins. And you too can be baptized for the remission of your sins this very hour. You can put off that old man of sin in that watery grave of baptism. And you too can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have that hope of an eternal home in heaven. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. We must continue to keep on keeping on. Remembering that Jesus promised there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent of your sins, to confess them to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Lest you someday be cast into hellfire. Serious, isn't it? It's serious. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song David's led?